This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hola, Cardinal fans. Welcome to the Monday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast. Let me welcome in my co-host, Steve-O.
I'm jumping off the cliff, babe. We lost yesterday.
Oh, you're jumping.
It's over. I mean, are you kidding me? One game back? I'm jumping.
Yeah.
No. What the hell's going on here?
I don't know. I've learned not to be surprised by anything I see.
This is ridiculous. I think BMO's the only one that had this right.
Hang on a minute. Here's another thing, too. I mean, you know how anal I get about social media.
Yeah.
People still bitching and complaining when we were winning. It's just unreal to me. Listen, everybody is who they are, and that's fine. Everybody, we're not robots, right? Everybody's got to be who they are. But I tell you this as I sit here today. If you were still complaining during the winning streak, you're a complainer. You need to look in the mirror. And now listen, I'm not even saying you're not right about some of the things you may have been complaining about, but that's who you are, so own it. You're a complainer. You're not happy unless you're complaining.
And there's a lot of people out there in the world like that.
Yes.
So
that's who you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're complaining. And then there's people that tweet things that, I mean, just embarrass the shit out of themselves and have no idea.
So give me the latest. I didn't follow a lot of Twitter. I went to the game on what day, man? Friday night?
Well, here's the example. Let me give you the example, and you know I'm going to agree with it, okay? I think Brett Cecil's awful.
Okay.
Okay, I do. Now, there's people out there that want to defend. What kills me, too, is some of the people that want to defend him are the people that, like, trying to make excuses for him. But yet, those are the people that don't like Matheny. Okay, so they hold one guy accountable, not the other, and try to tell me how he was really good 13 times in a row and that relievers' things are skewed. It's like, but that's the business. That's part of the game. That's the business. That's the business of the game. You have to, your job is to perform. When you don't perform, you don't get to say, throw that one out and the other. That's part of it. And he failed, and it's okay. I get it. Listen, I'm not dumb. I get that part of it. I know that these relievers every now and again are going to go out and shit the bed. Let me finish, and then you can think. What I will say is this, and this is what I've always had a problem with, Mike, and you know this, all right? You didn't need to leave him in the whole damn time. You didn't need to let him give up the grand slam or whatever it was. I mean, come on.
I think it was a three-runner.
Three-runner, whatever it was. You didn't need to.
Here, I don't remember him being.
He's
I know
dumb.
The stats.
Dumb.
I know the stats say he was good for whatever many games in a row. Do you even remember him being good?
I just remember a few times in a row. It was like, okay, another scoreless inning and another scoreless inning. Listen, again, that's why I don't want to hear your stats. Ryan Franklin one year was like up for Rolaids Reliever of the Year award or whatever it was. Smoke and mirrors sometimes. I know what I see with my eye. I'm not a dumbass, all right? I'm not as good as it that these other clowns are, for sure, that do it every day, all right? But I don't see a guy. Listen, when you're left-handed and that's your bread and butter is the way you throw because you're left-handed and you can't get left-handed hitters out, that's a problem. That's a problem. No? No?
Yeah, it's
that's
definitely
a huge problem.
It is. But smoking.
But here's the other thing. You're not a right-handed specialist. All right, so when you come in, you're going to face a couple guys. Now, where they're right is when you start getting into some tight situations and a power-hitting right-handed hitter comes up, it's time to get you out of the game.
I don't get it, man. I don't see it. But you want to talk about smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
Game on Friday night. Your daddy had some good seats, started off in the Champions Club, so
yeah,
we're up there eating. We're up there eating.
Don't these people know when you get anything involving eating that they're going to come out on the losing end?
You know what? It was. I had a good day that day. I had a guy come in from corporate office, Dallas. He said, "Where do I need to eat in St. Louis?" So I threw out, "Well, hell, you know, we can go to Pappy's." Picked him up from the airport. I said, "We can go to Pappy's right here," and because we were heading down Arnold to the office, and he goes, "What is it?" I said, "Barbecue." I said, it's great. But you got great barbecue down there in Texas. He goes, "You know, I'm kind of barbecued out." I said, "How about some St. Louis style pizza?" So I roll up to Peroni's of all places, you know, my little hole in the hood.
Yeah.
my little place in the hood. And it's unbelievable. And this guy starts, he thinks it's the greatest thing ever. Then I take him down to Gus's Pretzels for a couple of pretzel bites on the way down the office. So I had a good day, and then I tried to pack it on there at the Champions Club that night. So I was eating a lot that day. I did not go for the Philly cheesesteak out in left field. But anyway.
I don't know how you'd fit it in.
I know. Smoke and mirrors, the first pitch of the game out of Waino's hand on Friday night, I'm listening to the call because we're up in the eating, and it's Shannon calls, and he goes, fastball for a strike, 79. Boy, he started him off with a changeup.
Yeah, I watched the game, but didn't catch the beginning because I was in my car. And you start texting me right away. Something's up. Something's wrong.
Smoke and mirrors. It's old Greg Maddux stuff, and he's doing what he needs. He's pitching with what he has, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's always a, you know, the old. What's the, you know, he competed. He got out there and battled and. You don't always have your best stuff, and the guys that are the great pit, you know what? That's why everybody loved Chris Carpenter, right? Because sometimes he'd go out there and just didn't have it, and he'd have to win with what he had, and so everybody liked it and everybody loved it. And well, me included, who didn't, right? So, you know, that's part of it too. But as far as that goes, and as far as he goes, I guess, for lack of a better thing, I mean, he's done a little bit of smoke and mirrors himself this year.
Well, it's unbelievable.
You know, like every time you're ready to count the guy out, he comes back, and I'm just sitting there watching it going, what? I mean, is it his back? I mean, I guess he said after the game, no, it was his arm or something, but it wasn't a structural thing. Dead arm? I don't know. And then, for that matter, as we saw yesterday, big leaguers have a hard time hitting balls that are 70-something miles an hour.
Oh, they do. Absolutely. And that's the thing. So I wanted to ask that question
to
you.
Well, the knuckleball thing.
The knuckleball is one thing. So here's the deal. And this is a legitimate question for anybody out there.
Yeah.
From a ball player standpoint, I think that I would rather see a guy throwing 65-mile-an-hour curveballs, 82-mile-an-hour fastballs compared to high 90s. Okay. But I think I have more success hitting off of the guys that throw gas, Major League Baseball
well,
stuff, right?
No doubt. Would rather face, you ask any of them, they'd rather face a guy throwing 95.
No. I think they would, I think you're wrong there. I think they would have more success off of the guy throwing 95. They would love to think to hit off the guy throwing 82.
Well, no, because that's logic. You would think it's easier, but
it's not.
But they revolve their whole life around this is about the average fastball in the league. I heard a whole conversation over the winter while my son was hitting with Rick. I had never paid any attention to this before. He was gauging himself with a miles per hour gun throwing BP from 40 feet. And I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I just every now and again I calibrate myself to make sure I'm throwing 40 whatever miles an hour it is from 40 feet." it equates to this, and this is what these guys like to sit at batting practice for in the big leagues. And you know, he works with so many big league hitters and minor league hitters that he's like, I have to calibrate myself because this is where they try to sit. And I've talked to, you know, we know, obviously we're both good friends with Darren Hendrickson, who throws BP for the Cardinals, who is the head coach at SLU University. You know, it's how they like to work. So you work. Now, I we're going to get into a hot topic on social media yesterday because I've got an interesting opinion on it, and that was, you know, a couple guys being out of the lineup. I know Jericho was a scratch because he was hurt or whatever, or stiff back or whatever it was. But interesting that I'm not quite sure yesterday, you know, I understand the consequences, but there's a lot of times where people will sit these some of their better hitters that they feel like are going to struggle against that knuckleball just so they don't get them in a funk. But
right.
And I'm not sure that I'm not going to speak for anybody and say that's why they did it. It could have very simply been, you know, we've been pushing pretty hard here and wanted to give Yachty a day.
And we got another day tomorrow.
And that gives him the two, which people aren't happy about. They're like, we got a day tomorrow. We're trying to make the playoffs here, all hands on deck, which I also believe that as well. Now, the whole Dexter Fowler thing, maybe, again, here's a guy that's been on the DL how many times this year? And, you know, you had an opportunity to get him 2 days. So, again, is it important or not? I don't know. As far as Mike's concerned in this whole deal, he can't win. You know, the same people that were ripping him for running guys in the ground are ripping him now for sitting them. So but that's why he doesn't give a shit what any of these people say. I mean, you know, so whatever. And I know how I feel about it. I know this. I never obviously played remotely close to that level. I wanted to play every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think when you're in the heat of the battle like that, but there are days where you want to be a healthy scratch. You're like, Skip, man, just use me for hitting.
And you know.
Get those guys that haven't been playing a chance to get in there and play, and it does do something for you to get revitalized. That's why that whole Yachty Matheny thing was so unique, because you know Yachty's sitting there saying, no, I train to, you know, for 174 games.
That's right.
I don't want to sit where I think most of the people out there, big leaguers, you know, the 162 games is a grind. So
see, that's it's hard to comprehend.
Exactly. We're not playing. It's not Little League. It's not 12 games. Exactly. It's not even the 40 or 50 we play with our select.
And that was kind of my point. My limited college baseball experience, my 1 year, if I wasn't in the lineup, I was upset. But, you know, when you played, you know, you didn't play every day. You played a lot, but not every day. But, I mean, you know, if you played 5 days in a week and you sat one, it sucked, to be completely honest with you.
No, absolutely, especially if you're putting up stats. You want to get in there and play.
Even if you weren't. I mean, you want to play.
That's why it was unique. And that's, you know, these guys get aches and pains and a leave, you know, all the leave you want to take doesn't help. It's just one of those things where, hey, I just need a day, and I'm getting another day tomorrow. I'll rest. I'll hit the massage table. I'll get in the jacuzzi, whatever it is, and just try to recover. But that goes back to that's why those performance-enhancing drugs, PEDs, were so important, those recoveries.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It wasn't about the strength. It was about the recovery.
Well, the strength was a bonus.
Absolutely.
Let's say it was a bonus. But interesting things going on. Hey, listen. I'm going to end it with this before we take a quick break and go to you and your lovely wife, and that's this. We've given ourselves a chance, and as I said 100 times when I joined our friend on the 11th Inning podcast, are you not entertained? Because I am. I'm entertained. You know, and as far as the game goes yesterday, I mean, you know, did you think you were going to win every one of them from here on out? No, you're going to lose, you know, I mean – you know, we're going to look at the record. I mean, what you think the record will be on the way out. I mean, you're going to lose. If you're going to have a chance at this thing, you're going to lose 10 to 13 games on the rest of the way. I mean, you could lose more and still make it. But, you know, after looking at some numbers here, you'd like to go this and this and feel like if I did this, I'd feel pretty good about it. Especially because of who you're playing. Because you're going to play a lot of division games coming up here. So, you know, there's a lot to it. But, you know, I would say this. If you come down to the last week of the season when you're going to play, you know, the Cubbies and them, Milwaukee, you know, you're going to play those teams the last couple weeks of the season. If you're in this thing and you control your own destiny, I mean, now listen, would you like to be 10 games up and know you're going to the postseason and all cylinders firing? Sure. That's I don't know that that's who this club is, though. I mean, we've talked about it at length. I've said it before. You put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. Right? Absolutely. I don't know that we have the personnel to run away with anything. I'd be, you know, that's not going to happen in my opinion. But I'll be fine if we're just competing. I'll be okay with that. Well,
the interesting thing is what's come back into play is that wild card.
Well, that is interesting.
Because,
boy, Arizona's become so pedestrian.
So all of a sudden, you know, you're sitting here and you're looking at a shot. If you look out west, both Rockies and the Diamondbacks are 65 and 52.
Fallen.
I think we're 4 to 5 games out in that category. Well, so you're not.
Well, again,
don't count that out, okay, which we were a couple weeks ago.
All right. So what do you do here? You just go try to win. I mean, and that's nothing's ever changed in the game. Just you do your job, win. A lot of times things take care of themselves. It seems to happen. So, hey, let's remind you guys, check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. It's where you'll find the podcast. And also, you can subscribe to the show, it's completely free. We would appreciate it greatly. Of course, social media is big for us as our communication efforts with you guys have never been stronger. We love to jump in on some conversations, have some feedback back and forth. That's really what this is all about. Make sure you check us out on Twitter. We are at Birds on a Bat Show. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook by simply typing in Two Birds on a Bat. The good people over at therallycat.com would appreciate your support as well. If you want to check them out, simply type in rallycat.com on Facebook. You'll find that page, and they'd love to have you a part of that community as well. Lineupmedia.fm is where we're housed. We appreciate everything they do for us. They are the fastest growing podcast company on the planet. Make sure you give them an opportunity for your podcast and listenership. I know the numbers tell us that if you're listening to podcasts, you're probably hooked on about 6 of them. They've got some good ones over there. Blues season's getting ready to start. The Blues NHL podcast will be rolling here soon with former Blues Darren Kimball and Jamie Rivers. Couple of great guys that like to talk Blues hockey. I think you'll find that one really interesting as the season gets going. A lot of hope for Blues hockey this year. Made some interesting moves. Got rid of a player that I know had fans on end for quite a while, so we'll see how that goes. But again, lineupmedia.fm, they take your entertainment time very seriously, and they would appreciate an opportunity to earn your listenership. So check them out. Facebook pages that have made a big difference for us, and we can't thank enough. Of course, we're going to hear from Nate McHenry with his Rally Squirrel Report. He's been a big part of what we're doing here, and I don't know if you saw this or not, Steve, but they were picking up followers because people were interested in the Rally Cat thing, and then the Rally Squirrel, and then he was jumping in on some conversation. So it was interesting how that went for him. But he does such a great job over there with RallySquirrel.com. Make sure you check him out. Be a part of that group. It's interesting. They share a lot of great stories, a lot of great feedback, a lot of great conversations between Cardinal fans over there. The Redbird Report, that's the new Facebook page, formerly St. Louis Cardinals News and Rumors. They're changing it up over there to get away from the MLB, TR. Great guy, loves talking Cardinal baseball. Check him out, the Redbird Report. Also looking forward to having having him on. I know he's a big Cardinal fan that loves to talk about his Cardinals. He does a great job. All these guys really do at the end of the day. I mean, they traditionally just want to get involved in conversation with people, talk about some good baseball here in town, some of the great stories. But his name's Tanner Puckett. He does a great job, and we're looking forward to having him on, and we do appreciate him. Chris Lawless, of course, been there with us since day one. Check him out. Cardinals Nation and, of course, Cardinals 24/7. He does a phenomenal job of just getting his message out and trying to grow his show, and the Cardinal Freak as well. Can't say enough about all these great Facebook pages. If you're a Cardinal fan, there's so much out there for you. Make sure you check out all the great Facebook pages and groups. Be a part of it. It's good stuff. Now we're going to hear from you and your lovely wife. Tell us a little bit about the mortgage business. How's it busy?
We had a wave a couple weeks ago, and everybody kind of put the brakes on a little bit for the back-to-school. School starts. A lot of people started last week. I think the Illinois side starts this week. So, I would expect that people are going to get those finances in order and start looking to buy those homes or refinance whatever it is over the next couple of weeks. So the phone lines are open, folks. Get in right now for sure.
Well, let's hear from the Flowers. When we get back, we'll get back on some of these hot topics when it comes to Cardinal baseball. See you on the other side.
Hey, Cardinals fans, this is Steve and Emily Flowers with Supreme Lending. When we're not watching our Redbirds chase another world championship, we're helping buyers finance their dream home.
That's right. Whether you're a first-time home buyer looking for down payment assistance or an experienced buyer looking for your next move, you deserve the best. So call us now at 618-655-0483. We have all the bases covered when it comes to your next home loan. FHA, USDA, VA, and conventional. We do it all here at Supreme Lending.
Homeowners, with our refinance programs, you could lower your rate, get cash out to consolidate debt, or even remodel that bathroom, kitchen, or the outdoor space you've been dreaming of.
The bases are loaded in your favor here at Supreme Lending. Call us at 618-655-0483. Or visit us online at steveflowers.supremelending.com or search us on Facebook at Steve and Emily Flowers-Supreme Lending.
Go Birds!
All programs and terms are subject to change without notice and subject to underwriting approval. Supreme Lending NMLS 2129 is not affiliated with a government agency. Steve Flowers, NMLS 227652. Emily Flowers, NMLS 1256327. Missouri Company Registration 17-2156. Branch NMLS ID 1453720. Located at 361 1 Richardson Square Drive, Suite 200. Equal housing lender.
Good stuff, Steve-O. Appreciate you and your support as usual.
It's been fun, that's for sure. So we'll just keep puttering along and doing it and hopefully be busy while we're in the playoffs as well. How about that?
See, you're talking playoffs. I know the guy on the line's wondering about playoffs. So let's get Nate McHenry in here with his RallySquirrel.com Rally Squirrel Report and hear from Colorado and see what the thought process going on out there is now that the sky's fallen and the Cardinals finally lost a game. What's going on, Nate?
Yeah, hey, this got to be like the most fun week of the season, right? That we get to talk about. I don't care who we're playing, who's pitching. You win 8 in a row. I think we talked about it at the end of our show last week. Maybe they'll make one of these runs, and this is a run that we had to have. And hopefully, we just stay consistent now. But it was a fun week as a fan. It was sure fun watching the Cardinals score a ton of runs, and. Something we haven't seen this year, so it was great.
Well, hopefully we've seen it before. They look to turn a corner and then the wheels kind of come off, so to speak. So hopefully that's not the case here. I'm entertained right now. I'm happy. I'm enjoying watching again. It's made me want to get engaged again and believe. I guess it could go south in a hurry. We go to Boston, which they traditionally struggle a little bit. So, I hope we don't put all our eggs in this basket like, oh, the sky's falling if we lose a game or two. But we've done one thing here. We've put ourselves in a position to be involved in this race. You see anything that kind of stands out to you that you're like, this has given me hope?
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously the offense helps, being able to get some bats to support some pitching. I think for so long, this whole season, we've been relying on our starters and just, holding our breath that they're going to make it to the seventh or eighth inning, and we know we're going to put up two or three runs. And so to be able to give guys a lead, to compete, we did come back in quite a few of these games, but to be able to have that run support, I think it loosens up everybody, the pitching staff as well. So it's a benefit all the way around. And I've been, Grichuk, for example, during this 8-game stretch, he was on a tear. I think he had 3 doubles and a home run and a triple and just way more consistent. Five games out of 8 there, he had two hits in a game. And we haven't seen that from him all year. So positive signs like that. We all know we've watched baseball long enough, been fans long enough to know that the hitting's contagious. And we saw that. We've seen that even yesterday. We had I think double digit hits yesterday in the loss, but we're getting traffic. We're getting hits. Carpenter's doing a great job at the leadoff spot. His average is what it is, but his on base percentage is one of the best in the league since the All-Star break. And so, the offense is exciting, and I think there's several guys. Paul DeJong, the guy's got a hot bat. He's cranking home runs and
amazing.
He's coming up with big hits or insurance runs in the eighth inning. He's been huge. So, I think we got to be excited about that, and that's probably something we haven't had all year, so it's probably the most exciting thing right now for us to see. And in some ways, it masks probably our issues with the bullpen. But if we get enough runs, you know, the bullpen doesn't have to be as taxed, and it's not quite as much pressure, I don't think, out there. So offense is kind of the highlight, I think, this last week.
Well, I will say this. You brought up a couple great, you know, a couple names in there that are important to this, I guess, if you want to use the term resurgence. Is that a good term, Steve-O? We use that one?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, you know, you look at it and you say, okay, they're selling, I'm buying here. I'm in on a few things. Because for me it was, you know, you got down a couple times and come back and put up some runs. You know, that's the thing. You know, the woe is me stuff. Now, that kind of, I guess, could be attributed to, and I want to get your thoughts on, and I guess we'll call it the dinner. I mean, so, you know, these things, I don't know if we as fans need it as much as other people do, but, you know, we always want, okay, what turned it around? What did it? And, you know, we look back in Cardinal history, and like with the 87 team, there were some great moments that had happened during that season that people talked about. Was this, like, everybody, you know, if you think about 87, the home run Terry Pendleton hits in New York is the one where, if you look back, and you can, because you can now live in hindsight, right, you can look back and say, boy, after that home run, because I, you know, if I'm not mistaken, and again, I don't know these to be exact things, but I remember 87 pretty well. The Cardinals were way out in front. And then all of a sudden the Mets are right in their rearview mirror. We go to New York. And I believe if we'd have lost that game, we may have only been a half a game up on him and had an opportunity to leave there, maybe not in first. And he hits this ninth inning home run, and the rest is then we wind up winning the division. So there's all these moments that you can go back after the fact, obviously, and look at and say, boy, this was important. Well, right now people are wanting a reason. You always got to be a reason why. It can't just be, well, they're playing better or they're playing worse. So the dinner, you know, they go to dinner and – the veterans say some things and all this kind of stuff, and so now they're playing better, you know. So those are great, and you hear these stories. They do it, but they do it two or three times a year. It seems like they have to do it. And again, Steve-O and I talked about it's 162 games. It's a grind. I would expect you'd have to kind of refocus two or three times a year. I mean, heck, if do anything 162 days almost in a row. We know there's off days in there, but – to me, it still will always be the one thing that we, and I say we as fans, not you as fans, me too, because I get this way, the mental grind of this game and the mental taxation and the mental strength you have to play this game is the thing that we don't take into consideration enough. So, you know, is it something as simple as a dinner? You know, you hear about closed door meetings. You know, you have any thoughts on the dinner?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think all those things are important in a long season, like you mentioned. What's amazing is, you know, we've had a season that for most accounts we would say is not what we expected or what we expect the Cardinals to be like. But then you go on an 8-game winning streak and you find yourself right in the mix, you know. And to be able to grind out that long of a period of games, you know, all the way through the All-Star break, post All-Star break, and to kind of be on the outside looking in with, you know, maybe this hope, and then to put together a series of games and, you know, a couple of series right there where we had awesome, just everybody's on the same page. I mean, that's what you hope for in a season. So we hear managers, and it sounds cliche, and, you know, take it day by day, and we hear these types of speeches and talks. And but the reality is the players know what that means, and they know that one hot run like this or one run at the right time can make all the difference in a season. So whether it's the dinner or whatever it is, those have to happen during the year. And I think, you know, I've been a part of a lot of high school baseball and coaching high school baseball. And those seasons are obviously much, much shorter. But even within that 30 or 40 game span, you have a couple of these kind of moments where you come together and you say, something special needs to happen right now. We got to focus. And it's just the nature of being human. You know, you grind it out every day, you get in a pattern, you find new ways to stay motivated, just not any different from people working any other job in life. You know, you find new ways to innovate, get innovative, be creative, find fun. You know, one of the things I loved about this last eight games was the guys looked like they were having fun. You know, you see Yachty, that grand slam, he's jumping up in the air. You know, you see these guys excited about playing baseball. They're having fun. Their smiles going on. And winning, of course, you know, is the cure-all. But hey, you've got to have fun. And this long of a season, you got to come out. You got to enjoy the game. You got to have fun. And so it seems like those small, intangible things, and some of them are tangible, but a lot of intangibles are coming together right now, and it's exciting. So it's sure going to make watching the rest of the season fun, you know, barring we don't, you know, have the wheels fall off. But I don't think that's going to happen. So I agree with you, man. I got re-engaged this week in a new way. And I can tell you the fans got re-engaged. I mean, just the excitement, the interaction on our Facebook page, you know, probably tripled this last week. The Rally Cat helped that.
Isn't that
you know,
funny?
Just all the crazy events. But, I mean, people are excited. People are excited, yeah. So, you know that Cardinals fans get excited and rally behind their team. And so it's been fun to see that. And this is the part of the season we've all prepared for. And so, and the players know that, too. It's a long season. None of those players go through a season and say, you know, we're into August here. We're 4.5 out. No. It's drive time. They're excited. That's why they play. And so here we are, like a game out, right? And let's see what happens. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Before I let you go, I'll get your quick thoughts on the upcoming series against Boston. I don't feel very good about this two-game set. I don't know. I'll hear from Steve O and Benji after we finish with you. Personally, I don't like these matchups at all. I don't like our setup going in here. But you know, in the end, I get the whole team dinner, and I understand that stuff's important. But you know, a statement to me would be to go into Boston and either win both of them or win one of them, because it doesn't look good for them on paper to go in there. So, so for me, that would mean more to me. I don't like either one of these games. Your thoughts? The sky's not going to be falling for me if they go 0-2, but I think that's a very real possibility here.
Yeah, 2 in Boston, 4 in Pittsburgh. I think 500 is a good goal in those six games. If you can put those together as a body of work, you know, maybe there's a piece where, you know, Boston played the Sunday night game last night, and I think they went into extra innings and played a little longer, so maybe guys are, you know, not quite as focused when they come out today, and perhaps even overlooking the Cardinals, and or just emotionally coming off, you know, a pretty big series against the Yankees at this point, you know, and a big win for them. So it might be something where there's a little bit of a letdown for Boston. Maybe we can catch them this first game here, but you know, it's going to come down to the same thing. Starting pitching has got to be good, I think, and we got to have some run support. So I think we can get, I think we can grab one out of two in Boston. I would certainly be happy with that. I think that's fine. And then obviously the series in Pittsburgh is really the bigger one as far as the division's concerned. And you'd love to see us at least go 500 there when we're in Pittsburgh. So all in all, a 500 road trip, I think we'd all take that.
Yeah, I think you'd have to, and I'm with you. And I'm with you, maybe the Boston emotional thing. And you know, instead of having the off day today, Boston, I believe it's a makeup game against Cleveland. That may be a prior rainout that they're going to make up today, so they're not going to get the day off. And, you know, this time of year, a day off means a lot for some guys with some aches and pains. So maybe, yeah, you know, maybe. I don't like the pitching matchups. These I don't like at all. But, hey, listen, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. You still got to go play the games. And who knows, they could surprise. And that's what I'm talking about. It means more to me if they go into Boston and win a game they shouldn't win, or, God, if they could win both of them. That means more to me than a team dinner. So we'll see. But like I said, I understand it. I get it. I mean, it's part of it. But, you know, if any fan out there thinks they haven't had a team dinner already this season, they're crazy, because they have.
Right.
I guarantee you.
Right, right.
I guarantee you they didn't play below 500 baseball for 3 months and not have a team dinner. They had one.
But have they had a team dress up in pajamas day?
Yeah.
That's what we want to know. Have they had a team, one of those goofy-ass things?
Yeah. So, anyway, good stuff.
I'm sure they have. With Martinez and Waino in there, they I'm sure they've done something crazy.
Yeah, well, listen.
Well, hey, we got to love that we got that opportunity. I mean, it's so fun to know that we're going into Boston and those games matter. And so I think our guys are fired up. They seem to be having fun. They're clicking. The bats are going. So I like it. I like where we're at. And I think there's a shot here. So it'll be fun to see how it plays out for sure.
Well, again, I'm just happy we're in it. I'm happy. I want to watch games that matter, and I want to see them at least competing. And I feel like that's what they're doing. So I'm good to go. Hey, you mentioned the resurgence of RileySquirrel.com this weekend. Not that anybody with 100,000 people needs a resurgence, but you said there was a lot of traffic. Obviously, the Rally Cat played some into that. I'm a believer that an 8-game winning streak will always get people more engaged in anything Cardinal baseball. Tell our listeners where they can find you again.
Yeah, that's right. Winning helps everything. You can go to Facebook, find us, RileySquirrel.com, up in the search bar. Just type in RileySquirrel.com. You'll find us there. We crossed over the 100,000 plateau, which is a lot of fun. And thanks to all the amazing Cardinal fans that support and are a part of the page. And we have tons of fun. Every game we're interacting and making comments. And we got our regular negative people. And we got our regular always positive people. And it's always a fun banter, but it's all friendly fun amongst the Cardinal family here. So love for you to join us down the stretch. On our Facebook page, a lot of fun still to happen this season.
Yeah, it's funny you brought that up. I mentioned or at the beginning of the show, if you were still complaining during the 8-game winning streak, you're a complainer. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not going to be Mike here and tell you how to be a fan, whatever. I don't care. I it's like the protest stuff. I would just walk out and walk by it. I don't know why people. I mean, if you don't believe in what they're protesting for or against, or if it's hate or whatever, just ignore it. Those people want a reaction, right? Well, that's what complainers do. They want a reaction from you. And I've caught myself doing a better job of not getting engaged in what I find to be completely ridiculous tweets that are unnecessary. But whatever. But that's my, I don't know about you, but that's what I'm telling you. If you were still complaining, and I'm not even saying you weren't right with your complaint, but if that's your best thing to do during an 8-game winning streak, I think you're a complainer. I think you should wear the badge. That's what I believe.
That's right. No doubt about it. Hey, we've labeled a couple of them. We've labeled a couple of them on our page. They know who they are, but we welcome them anyway. So.
Hey, listen, I look in the mirror all the time and know who I am, and I know I get frustrated, man, and I'm no better. I do it. I find myself complaining. I do it.
Yeah.
You got to own it. You know, you got to know who you are, but I'm telling you, if you'd lived with this team the whole season and they just reeled off 8 in a row and you're on Twitter every night complaining about something, you're a complainer. Own it. That's all I say. Own it. All right. Hey, Nate, great stuff from you as always. I know our fans really do appreciate you joining us each week, bringing your take, and, of course, allowing them to be a part of such a great baseball community in RileySquirrel.com. We'll look forward to talking to you next week, my friend.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you later. Thanks.
That is Nate McHenry, of course, with RileySquirrel.com, the great Facebook page. Join it. Be a part of such a large baseball community. They would welcome you with open arms. And he's had a lot of fun with the Rally Cat. I don't know, Steve, if you've paid any attention to some of the stuff that's been out there, but he's found an opportunity to kind of jump in a lot of conversations when people are, you know, we had some fun with it, you know, the whole, like, you know, the whole cat and the squirrel thing. But he is he's a great fan. He's a level-headed guy that just really enjoys Cardinal baseball, and he's had a lot of fun. And I know a lot of people love that community, so it's good.
Yeah, I'm so disappointed I missed the show last week. Got busy working and couldn't make it in after the Rally Cat came running out on the field, so I haven't even had a chance to listen to it. I assume it was a good one. I know you've taken some an opportunity to secure.
Well, we did
a site.
We did it.
You got T-shirts and you got following.
I mean, well,
are you opening up a restaurant? What I mean, there's something
cat
going
food.
On.
Cat food restaurant.
Okay.
No, we. I sent the tweet out before Yachty hit the ball. Obviously, I'm no Nostradamus, but it was just kind of funny. It's like, here we go with another animal on the field. And I'm very perceptive of the animal thing and what it means to consumers. You know, I mean, again, I brought it up on the show. I worked at AB for 17 years. You got a dog, some frogs, and some lizards that basically carried the mail over there for quite a while.
Hey, hey, don't forget the penguins.
And the penguins, I forgot, yeah. So you got your penguins, your dog, you got your dog was the big boy.
Yeah.
Spuds McKenzie was where what was the big thing that turned that whole thing. They were already big, but it just behemoth. And then, of course, again, you're right, the penguins, the squirrels, and the penguins, I'm sorry, penguins, and I got my card.
Frogs and lizards.
Until the
what's up guys came out.
Well, the what's up was a product of the government saying, I think you're bordering advertising to children with these animals. That's why the animals have went away. So, I get it. So I don't know. I'm enjoying this right now. I love the fact that we're in it. And, I've been as negative and have written them. And I saw a guy on here saying, hey, because everybody's like, you know, they're trolling these fans and doing this. And one of the great Twitter guys out there who I think is hysterical and does a good job, and I don't always agree with him. I know he doesn't always agree with me. But he said, hey, listen, if you want to troll somebody and give somebody shit, give it to me. I've written them off 3 times, 4 times, you know. Nobody's counted them out more than me. If you want to give somebody shit, give it to me. See, that's what I love.
Ownership of it.
Have some fun with it.
I told you. I still jumped off the cliff yesterday. They lost.
Yeah, I know. You're something else. You know who's never jumped off the cliff?
It's our boy, man. He doesn't jump. He's. Hey, you're an oak.
Yes.
Give it to me.
You're an oak. Yes. It's great. I stand correct. Not a better. He is an oak. Yes, he is. As he wears his badge of honor of being one of the never jumped off the cliff. Never expected him to jump off a cliff. Let's welcome in on the M4byYachty.com hotline, Benji Molina. What's going on, pal?
Not much, man. Not much. Just getting happier and happier. Like I told you guys, you never know in this division. We're right in it.
Yeah, you know, the winning streak did come to an end, which we knew it would come to an end. If you look at some of the stuff that kind of goes on behind the scenes, I didn't know that they'd win 8 games in a row, but, you know, you always circle a game that has something going on underneath, and you're sitting there going, I don't like this. And when you're rolling right along, there is nothing worse in the whole world than a knuckleballer. I can't think of anything worse as if I don't care if you've won 20 games in a row or you've lost 8 games in a row. I think when you look at the thing and you say, oh, boy, because you just don't know what you're going to get that day from the guy.
That's exactly right, but also it could have worked in our favor. Yes. He's giving it up everywhere, you know. He's been giving it up, and once you see him on this coming up, you're like, oh, man, we're going to lit up this guy, you know, because he's been having a hard time. So in this case, he got us, you know.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if people are familiar with, you know, I mean, I would assume a lot of people kind of understand how the knuckleball thing, but there was a great thing on ESPN about Tim Wakefield and his career, and just talking about, you know, how there was a stretch where you couldn't hit the guy, but then there's just days where they don't have it, and then, you know, it just depends on what kind you throw and what you do and all this kind of stuff. It's got to be a frustrating thing. I'm assuming you faced some knuckleballers in your career. Steve-O had kind of mentioned beforehand, you know, as a normal everyday fan, you might be sitting there going, I don't understand. This ball's 80 miles an hour. Why can't you hit it? I mean, you're hitting guys throwing 99 miles an hour. This ball's coming up in there at 70-something, 80 miles an hour. What's the problem? Why don't you describe for our listeners what it's like?
You don't know where he's going. You don't know where he's going. Unless, you know what? I can tell you one story of mine. I caught 4 knuckleballers 4 years in a row, right? I caught a double-A kid that Mike Morse was trying to throw a knuckleball, and they sent it to me in double-A. I caught him in triple-A, too. And then the next year, I went up a little bit into the major leagues, and my first game that I had to go in and catch was Steve Sparks. I don't know if you remember Steve Sparks.
Uh-huh.
The next year, I had Steve Springer. Springer from the Angels, and then next year I had Tom Candiotti.
That's the one that I think most people are probably familiar with is Candiotti.
Yeah. But the thing is that once you're catching them, I was having success with them. I didn't mind hitting them because I could see the ball. I was catching them. So I was familiar with it, and I was having fun with them. I was like, man, bring me Wakefield, bring me whoever you want, man. I'm good, you know, because I've been catching them. I have practice, right? Once I stopped that, dude, once I stopped catching the knuckleballers, holy moly, I'm like having weird swings, and I'm like, what the heck happened, man? And it's just because you don't practice it anymore, you know? So now you'll become one of the regulars, you know? So, and it was tough, man. It's tough because the ball goes anywhere.
You know, one of the things that I find interesting is the catchers typically, and I don't know if it was something that happened over time or if you did it as well, they would use a bigger mitt. And I even believe what we saw yesterday was a completely different style of mitt. It was almost like it wasn't even a catcher's. It almost looked like a first baseman's mitt. But I do know that I think, yeah, that's what it is. And it's like, you look at it and you go, wow, but I can't – the guy that used to catch Wakefield, I can't remember his name, but his mitt was huge. It was a catcher's mitt, but it was huge. And sometimes they would change mitts. Pretty neat deal.
Yeah, Doc Mirabelli. I played with him in winter ball. He helped me out big time on my way up to the major leagues. But, yeah, it's really hard. And he still had trouble catching it. It wasn't like it was very easy for him either. Remember – once a knuckleball is thrown to you, the only thing in your mind, at least that's how I thought about it, is catch the ball. if you worry about there's a guy at first, there's a guy at third, I gotta block it, I gotta stop it, I mean, you're done, dude. I mean, when I first my first game in the big leagues, I don't know if you guys remember Old Detroit Stadium.
Yeah.
The old one, and it had no background. It was all fans. So Wahlbeck was catching, and then that day he didn't want to catch for whatever reason. I don't know. I guess the knuckleball intimidated him or whatever it was. I don't know. But here comes Terry Collins, and he said, hey, Molina, you're catching today. So I got so fired up, dude. I was like, heck yeah, man, I'm catching? I don't care. Let's go. And then I look in the lineup, and it was Steve Sparks. I'm like, oh, crap. This is really happening, right? So, and I said to myself, you know, in my head, what the hell, man? I've cut Mike Morse in the minor leagues for so long. I can catch this guy, you know? Yeah. So I went over there, and everybody said that Wahlbeck was trying to be mean to me because he doesn't want to get his numbers messed up, you know, with the pass balls and all that crap. Let me tell you this, guys. In 4 years, I didn't have no pass balls on a knuckleball. 4 years catching knuckleballs, not one pass ball. And I won Defensive Player of the Year in the minor leagues catching a knuckleball all year, okay? So it just because they sent you out there for a knuckleball trying to make you miss and try to laugh at you, and it backfired him because I could catch, and I became the catcher for them, you know, because I never dropped the ball. And I was good catching and throwing the ball back, you know? So that tells you how good I was with the knuckleball, but it was just practice. I had it every day. I played catch with him every day because I didn't want to miss anyone. I didn't want to miss the ball, you know?
Well, it's an art. There's no doubt about it. And when it's on, it's you know, you're at the mercy of, again, like you said, and you can tell. All you had to do is watch the swings. As a pro hitter, you just hit, you see the ball, you hit it where you think it's going to be, and typically they're so used to a certain trajectory, and a lot of swings just went right over the top of a ball that just fell off the table or drifted outside, and it's going to be a tough day. Again, I'm not jumping off the cliff.
You know why I hate it, the knuckleballs? You know what I hate it to watch? I hate it that me and the regular guys get the nasty knuckleballs, and then Barry Bonds and all these dudes that could hit the crap out of the ball and Hall of Famers, they get the hanging ones right down the middle. I'm like, dude, why can't you miss with me? You got to miss with Barry Bonds, and Barry Bonds is going to hurt you. But then you get Benji Molina up there, and you get three nasty ones. Get out of here, boy. You know, like, come on, man. I hated that.
BMO, I feel like that every man ball game I think I play in. It seems like they always throw me the nasty stuff on the black.
Man ball. Hey, you know what? Before we kind of get to the outlook, we won eight games in a row. We finally lost a game. You know, we're in this thing. We've put ourselves in a position to compete, and that's really, I think, you know, that should be enough to at least get us excited about it. Something I know that you're really really on right now that means a lot to you. If anybody follows you, and again, we encourage you, make sure you're following Benji at Benji Molina 1 on Twitter. And check him out on Facebook as well, Benji Molina. You're an inspirational guy. You spend a lot of your time trying to uplift others and talk about the positive stuff going on in the world and just remembering how important family is, and it means a lot to you. And we talk a lot about your book and your journey that you're sharing. You know, your journey's fantastic, but really, at the end of the day, your message is, it doesn't happen without my dad and my family and how important that was to you. Well, family obviously is number one to you, your brothers, everybody involved within the game of baseball, especially the Molina family. You've kind of taken on a role of trying to help a family that's going through a tough time right now. The last day or two, some people have probably seen that you're sharing some stuff. I know Steve-O wanted to lend a hand with this as well. I'm going to turn this over to you guys and let you tell us a little bit about Hudson.
Yeah, it looks like you got a GoFundMe page. It started, and we want to reach out to, you know, our listeners and make sure that they're aware of it, because sometimes, you know, they miss Twitter or whatever. They might just be listening to the show. So you got somebody pretty close to the family out there suffering from autism and pretty unique situation. So, Benji, it's your floor, bud.
Yeah, I know, man. It's really sad. It's really sad. We didn't know. The family is so humble. They didn't tell anybody in school. We found out from a friend, and I say, why not making a GoFund? Because they don't have money, man. They're not like a wealthy family. They've been spending every money on this kid. And they have three other daughters too. So the kid has autism, but he also have a generic illness that only three people in the world have. And not even the doctors. That's why he's in San Diego right now and getting checked. And the parents were afraid of how he was going to react to it. And we started praying for him. We started a prayer, you know. And to tell you the truth, they told me yesterday that the kid was very calm. You know how autism kids could be, you know. And he was very, very calm and with the doctors. And the saddest thing is, they cannot use sedative, you know, like they cannot use something to calm him down. It has to be all natural. He has to get tubes from the nose. He has to get tubes to the stomach and all of these without painkillers and all this. So, and then yesterday a miracle happened. You know, the mom texted Jamie and said that for the first time ever, he cuddled with her in her arms and hugged her. Which that never even, he has the worst kind of autism, you know, the ones that they don't talk and they don't, you know, they don't show affection. And this kid, yesterday he said a word and we're trying to figure out what he said. And mom said that he talked yesterday for the first time ever. He's 7 years old. Okay. And he's never talked. He just make noises and, you know, so he's a great deal that's happening right now. We hope that he doesn't have to have a feeding tube for a long time, because they don't know how he's going to react. So, but this family is very humble. They don't ask for anything. Hudson is a great, great kid. You know, obviously he has the autism, but we're going to take care of Hannah, one of his sisters, for a couple of nights. She's going to stay with us until they come back from San Diego so she can go to school with Jada. And they're in the same class. And I just wanted to be nice to them. I just wanted to see if we can just get some money out there, you know, just for them, whatever it is, you know. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to be afraid. We just opened it just to see how much we can. And I put that GoFund high just because I didn't know I didn't know what to expect. I never done this. You know, I just felt from my heart, like, let's do this. You know, this family needs it. And they were not asking for it either. It was just came out of me and Jamie's heart, you know, like, let's do it. Maybe we can wake up some hearts out there. Maybe we can get people to donate and $1 or $5 or $10. Who cares? I don't care. Just whatever you can, you know, just to help out this family. I'm sure they would appreciate it, man. And we're up to almost $1,000, I think.
Yeah, you've just kind of gotten going on the promotion of it. And, you know, we're happy to do it here. And St. Louis Cardinal fans are very familiar with this disease the trouble that it causes for families and kids and how they just want to try to have as much normalcy in their lives as possible. Albert Pujols, all his years here, was such a big advocate for trying to help this disease and research and provide better lives for these people. So hopefully with the St. Louis community being very familiar with this and they've always stepped to the plate. I know, Albert does such a great job both here, still here, and where he's at now out in L.A. of bringing awareness to this. So hopefully our St. Louis community can kind of jump on this, help out a little bit. Again, I thought your tweet was perfect. You know, people aren't loaded with money. Some people are, some people aren't, but $5-$10 can make a big difference.
Huge difference, huge especially difference. With the following, and we'll get that out to our Facebook. We'll hopefully our partners out there, whether it's Cardinal Cowboy or Rally Squirrel, those guys with some big followings, and see if we can't really get Cardinal Nation behind Hudson and see if we can't raise them a little bit of money.
Yeah, you've been awful.
Yeah, that'd be great, man.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Thank you, guys, and it'll be awesome just to see how many people get together. And like I said, you know, from now on, we just open the page, and from now on, it's in God's hands, and you can do nothing about it. You just got to go for it. At least we're trying some to help them out, and if it doesn't work, and whatever it works that we end up, you know, whatever money we end up, it's great for their family. So I'm happy with that, you know?
Nope, happy to do it, my friend.
You know what we could do, Jim? We got a couple of those autographed books still left, the Molina books.
Yeah, we could do something.
Anybody that donates, you know, sends us
we'll
a tweet,
something out. Well, let's figure it out.
Let's put them all in a hat and draw out a lucky winner. We'll send out a
we can do that.
Autographed book.
We'll
from,
talk to Tim should be back. Our social media director should be back, and he runs all the contests. We'll throw something together and just try to get some people involved in that. And I know you and your brothers are gracious with your stuff to try to help people. But we have some stuff here. And again, you're very good to a lot of people, Benji. And I know that. You know, whether obviously you're on our show twice a week, but you're on the airwaves in St. Louis, and the fans love it when you go on the radio shows and just, you know, when they ask you questions and you give them your honest, open-hearted opinion of really, I say it, your St. Louis Cardinals, because you're as big a fan as anybody. So hopefully everybody will jump on this and lend a hand. So again, we will share that stuff
and
out.
You can raffle how we go to have lunch somewhere. Maybe they can meet us for lunch, you know?
Yeah, that'd be great. We could do that as well.
Pappy's or whatever, you know?
Yeah, that's an excuse to go to – that sounds like an excuse to go to Pappy's.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't
you guys got the point, huh?
Absolutely.
Well, you are coming in town, so maybe we'll do – I tell you what, we're going to pull this together. We're going to do a lunch at Pappy's and maybe we'll have some goodies for somebody. We're going to figure this out. Sound good?
Yeah, man, let's do it, and we can go out lunch, and whoever wins this and can meet us for lunch, man, and have fun and talk about Cardinal baseball.
Yeah, we can do something. Maybe there's a way to do it, and if somebody makes a donation, maybe if they just put in the comments, if they just put two birds or something, then we'll know that they got it from here, and we'll throw all those in a hat and maybe take somebody to lunch at Pappy's and let's do something we're going to put that together, Benji. That's going to be a good one. Sound good, my friend?
That'll be awesome. That'll be awesome. Thank you, guys. And believe me, I don't do it for me. I don't do it for 1% of me. I'll do it for that kiddo that's going through a hard time, and we're blessed to be okay, and he's just going through a hard time with his family, you know?
Sounds like a plan, my man. Let's move to the Cardinals. They have won 8 of their last 9. Put themselves in a position. Now we head into Boston. I said earlier in the show that These matchups make me a little nervous. I'm not all that comfortable going in there. I'm also not going to lose my mind if they lose both. But sometimes a team, you know, has defining moments. To me, a defining moment would be going to Boston and win a couple games, or at least win one of two and then go win a series in Pittsburgh. Those are defining moments to me. A lot of fans now are pointing to what's been made a big deal, this team dinner, as being the going to be the reason. Now, I know they're a big deal, and I know, Benji, you played in the league for 13 years. I can only imagine how many team dinners you had. But, you know, I'd have to believe this. That team dinner probably gave them an opportunity to air a lot of things out, say some things that needed to be said, maybe whatever. But I know this. They've had other team dinners. I mean, you don't go through the season and not hit the road and everybody go out to dinner together. So, to me, a defining moment, and I brought up 1987 when Terry Pendleton hit the home run in New York. Sooner or later, your defining moment happens on a field. Now, that 8-game winning streak to me was a very defining moment of them putting themselves back in this race. Now they need something else to propel them over the top. How do you see this thing playing out?
I think the dinner is very nice. The dinner is, it pumps everybody up for sure, because at that point, you're telling everybody, hey, this is our chance. This is our get-go. You know, we got to go. We got to go here. We don't have anybody else to help us. We just had ourselves right here. The dinner helps for sure, but it doesn't define the whole season. The rest of the season, I should say, because we still got three weeks in August, and we still got 4 weeks in September. So that's 7 weeks. So, but it helps. It helps a lot. Now we have to go and make sure not to think about ahead of ourselves. You know, like if we have a series in Pittsburgh, then we have a series with the Cubs, then let's forget about that. We got to play hard today and try to win the game today. And I bet you anything, that's what I was doing from Socha when I saw him. The first thing that he told us was, let's win today. Let's win it. And it keeps everything else so easy when tomorrow you find the same philosophy in a board and you say, let's win today. So that keeps you from thinking about the past. That keeps you from thinking about the future. I think that's the best thing in this case for our Cardinals to do. It's say, you know what? Let's win today. Who are we facing today? We're facing Boston. All right, let's win today. Let's do whatever it takes to win this game today. Who we're facing tomorrow when we get there, let's win today. So I think to keep it simple for them, since we still have 7 weeks of baseball, it's just going to be that. It's not going to be defined by a dinner. It's not going to be defined by a meeting in the clubhouse. It's not going to be defined by a home run in the 10th inning. We still got 3 weeks, 3 weeks in August and 4 in September. So I think the winning today, it's what's going to keep them going.
I don't, you know, that I'm still can't look at anything we're going to do forward and not think to myself, you know, we just need to control our own way here by just winning. And those last 2 weeks of the season are going to, you know, that last week of the season, I mean, I can only imagine what that's going to be like. You had mentioned on the last show that you guys will definitely be in to do the Spanish broadcast. So, you know, looking ahead, I mean, when Chicago comes rolling into town that last week of the season, I mean, I can only imagine what it's going to be like, whether we're up a game, down a game. But I just hope, you know, and again, I would love for us to just stay really hot and, like, get a few-game lead. That'd be great. That doesn't seem to me like this team, though. I mean, while I know we won 8 games in a row, I think we still know that we have some issues that we're kind of playing through, which is great. Finding a way to win.
Finding a way to win's great. Yeah, but maybe that's a sign that they can get hot, and they know they can do it. They know they've been playing better. Maybe that's a sign of the whole team playing great, you know, or finding themselves. Remember, there was a new pieces coming in, and then a few pieces left out. So you traded Jaime Garcia, and then all of a sudden Matt Adams, and then Diaz went down. Then here comes Fowler. He's a new guy. Grichik played a little bit last year. Piscotty only had 1 year. Things like that, you know. So, I mean, they still finding themselves. Maybe these 8 games put him over the top. Maybe these game-winning streaks, maybe they put them together, and maybe they can think of them about themselves like, okay, we could do this. And you don't know. I mean, we don't know. And talking about the last week of September, that's awesome to think about. That's very, very, very cool to have thoughts in your head about the last week of September, man. But it could also go the other way. It could also go like the last 2 weeks of September and don't mean crap because we're out of it. So we have to play the games. Like I said, I think, in my opinion, the best thing is to win today, man. Whenever we are, wherever we are, just win today. Let's see what happened, you know? That's what I think is the best.
I look at Adam Wainwright's last start, and I know that, you know, we've mentioned on here before that, you know, we try to come into these shows somewhat educated, so are knowledgeable about what was going on and us to have dialogue before we talk. But in our little three-man text group here, obviously it was noted that Wainwright, something didn't seem right. And, you know, while the results were there, 83 on the gun is interesting to me. Do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, he kind of downplayed it afterwards and was like, no, I'm good, just a little something. It wasn't anything structural, and I'll be fine. You know, almost that move along here, nothing to see until there is something to see, I guess. But I don't know. You might be able to get away with that one start, but if that continues, I'm not quite sure that that's a very good recipe for success.
Yeah, it's not. No, it's not at all. You cannot go into team showing up with 85 miles an hour and expect to have a great game. I mean, if you do it, you're a genius. I mean, I think you just figure it out, hitters, and move the ball around, hit the corners. You have to be so perfect when you throw 85 that I think something might be wrong with him. I think we just have to wait, like you said, you know, you just have to wait next week or whenever he pitches and see what's going on, because something must be wrong. He was throwing 91, 92, and all of a sudden he comes down to 85. So dead arm could be it. We cannot tell a dead arm only if the pitcher say so or it's dramatic, you know, like right now we're seeing. So we'll have to wait and see the next start and see how it comes. If he pumps back to 91, 92, then he was just one starting. But that's what we hope so.
Well, the thing that I found interesting the most was with the whole, you know, it was outside the arm, which that could mean a lot of different things. I mean, to me, and you tell me, I could be crazy, but the most logical thing is he's been dealing with a little bit of a back issue. And, you know, if you can't follow through on your pitches, and he didn't look to me to be really trying to finish that strong. Steve-O, you were actually there, but is it just as simple the back was a little stiff and they feel like, why make an issue of it? We got 5 days to try to get it to loosen up. I don't know.
I tell you, the back, it's something tricky. You cannot swing the bat with the sore when you're sore. When you hear somebody say, man, soreness, when you hear somebody say, oh, he got scratched because of the back, it's not easy to go out there and swing 120% hard and with a hurt back, you know, with something sore in your back. So it's the same way for the pitching. It's not easy at all. And imagine him pitching with the soreness in the back. I mean, I don't know, but he's a pretty tall guy. He's like 7 foot guy on the mound, and then trying to reach down in the corners or down in the dirt with the bat back. I don't see that happening, man. That's why you see those things when they get out, when they take him out of the scratch from the lineup because of the back. It's because he can't function. So, well, let's wait and see. Like you said, maybe he gets 5 days to recover, and maybe he can come back.
Well, I mean, again, typically, one of the ways that you tell when a pitcher's tired is he doesn't finish his pitches and the ball's up. And when the ball's up, we know what happens. It needs to be on a downward trajectory, most noticeably better when it's at the knees, of course. So, you know, if the back's not able to allow him to finish, the balls are going to be up. Now, again, how did he have success?
A lot of times, Jimbo is not tired. A lot of times the guys are probably in a great shape, but you just have a soreness in your back, man. And that back, I don't know if you ever had soreness in your back. I never had experienced that until like the other day when I had to pick up so many stuff for my girl's apartment. The next day, I had to stay 2 hours on the bed, man, because my back was sore. But, man, I tell you, if you never had that thing bother you and then you're a pitcher, I ain't going to feel good, man. And then hitting is the same way. I'm sure, like, if you're a shortstop, you have to go for a ball in the hole and your back is tight, man. You ain't going to be the same. That ball's going to go through. Things like that, you know?
Well, we'll see what happens. Like I said, I mean, my only assumption is why make an issue of it until it is an issue? And he got away with it one game. Again, I don't know that it's something that would be a recipe for success, but we'll go from there. You know, I don't know about you, but I'd sure like to see him win one of these games in Boston and win this series in Pittsburgh, but that remains to be seen. I think we've gotten all we can ask for. We've put ourselves in a position to do well. We'll just have to see what happens and go from there. But I do like the fact that it sure seems like they've turned a corner and they feel like they can win every game. And again, to me, they've been down a couple runs and come back, got back in games, won games. So, you know, again, as a fan, just a fan talking, at least that is exciting to me and I'm entertained again. So, hey, we'll see what happens. I mean, like I said, you got to play the games, right?
Yeah, you got to play the game. But also, remember, we had 30 games that we can look back and say, man, we could have won those, at least half of those, and be in a better position. So that tells you that we have a good team. That tells you that these guys for the fans, and they're not giving up by any means, man. They're going to go out there, like I always been saying, they're going to go out there and give you 150% of their heart out in the game. And that's what they're going to keep doing. You watch.
Well, again, you're right. And you know, this is going to be a good ride. I mean, I hope it's an unbelievable ride with an unbelievable finish. And again, if you're a Cardinal fan, this is what we want. We just want to be in it. I know it's not perfect. You know, we're not running away with anything here. All cylinders aren't firing, even in the winning streak. I think we know that, but this is our team. And you know what, we'll see what happens. And I think that's really all you can ask for. So I guess we'll convene on Thursday and we'll see how this Boston trip goes. Again, I would sure like to see them go in there and defy some things that just don't seem to be going their way there. But again, those are the types of things that I want to see that are a little more important to me than a team dinner. Although I get it, I understand it, and you're right. But now we got to go out and win some games that maybe we shouldn't win. So that to me will be a little more meaningful.
Heck yeah, man. If you go out to Boston, I mean, Boston's not an easy task at all, man. Not saying that anybody is, but you go to Boston and win these games, man, you're proving to everybody, hey, we're here to stay. We're here not to go anywhere, and let's go. So that'll be awesome.
All right, my friend. I guess we'll reconvene on Thursday. We're going to start working on this contest. We'll get a hold of you off the air, and we'll start thinking of some ideas. And we'll try to put something really nice together for any listener out there that would want to try to support Hudson. So we'll move on from there. Sound good, my friend?
You got it, guys. You guys have fun over there, okay? Thank you so much for helping us.
No problem at all.
Thanks, Bimo.
That is Benji Molina, your friend and ours, as he comes to you on the M4byYachty.com hotline. And again, we're going to put something really nice together for our listeners out there that would like to help support Hudson. It's a worthy cause, and I know everybody appreciates Benji and his support of their Cardinals and all the great things he does wherever he goes. And again, he's awesome when he's on the radio shows as well. So hopefully those guys will give him an opportunity to come on too.
Well, let me tell you, we've had the fortunate blessing of spending some time with this guy, and mm-hmm. he is what he is.
Yes.
And if you haven't read his book, pick it up. And you know, he interacts with people. He's about as genuine as it comes. So when he's behind a cause like this, it should make everybody want to get behind a cause, just because he's that type of guy. I like him to you know, a Tim Tebow type guy. You know what I mean? He's that type of inspiration. And if you didn't see it the other night,
oh, unbelievable.
Tebow,
unreal,
finds an autistic
unreal.
Kid comes down.
Well, the kid finds him.
Yeah, kid finds him. You know, screaming out, Tim's. I don't even know what the whole story was, but
he's on deck.
Yes,
he's
on deck.
He's on deck, and the kid, an autistic kid, that I guess he really likes Tebow and the whole thing, comes up, and you know, you could tell. I mean, even you know, the kid was wearing ear things because the sound probably bothered him so much. And I mean, just And again, I'm not going to get into the religion, your faith, and all that kind of stuff. It to each his own. I'm not here to preach for sure, but interest things like this, boy, they sure seem to find this guy. Big moments like this, and again, the odds are 1,000% against him ever having any success. But he's already defied odds. I mean, he's already doing way better than anybody thought he would. But even that, if you want to look at overall success, he's had some amazing moments already, and this was nothing short of it. Kid finds him in the on-deck circle. He stops his room routine to go over and meet him, and then he bats and hits a home run, and it's just, I don't know. I can't, you know, again, that's what's great about sports, man, is this stuff is unscripted. And yet it's movie-like sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. And we
just went through it with the Kurt Warner going to the Hall of Fame. That's a damn movie. David Freeze, that's a movie.
Marshall the Miracle Dog.
This stuff is amazing. So that's why I love sports, ultimately. That's why you should love it.
It's the best reality TV going, and that's for sure.
Well, appreciate you, my friend. Appreciate the show. And, again, we'll put that stuff together. And, again, I'd love to hear your guys' comments. Heading into Boston, not going to be easy, I don't think. I'm really worried about these two games because I'm more worried about it because you just played really well. Like I said, you circle that game against the knuckleballer, and it's like, God darn it. I hate that. But whatever. It is what it is. These guys are professional athletes. They got to deal with it, and they'll figure it out. You know, one or two of Boston. I think got to win one or two.
I'm going to get greedy.
Oh, God.
I want them both.
Well, here's the deal.
I want to announce my presence with authority.
Okay, and it's okay. You know, I would love us to announce our presence with authority, and I'm typically wrong. When something really bothers me like this, I'm typically wrong, so maybe they'll win them both. So that's good stuff. Hey, I want to remind you guys, check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. It's where you'll find the podcast. Check us out on Twitter, @BirdsOnABatShow. Simply type in twobirdsonabat. At Facebook, like our page, like our Twitter handle, follow us, share our stuff around in an effort to reach all the great Cardinal fans. We would greatly appreciate it. Special thanks again to lineupmedia.fm for all their support and allowing us to be a part of their team, their fantastic facilities, and producer Brian Kroc, who puts the show together and makes us sound somewhat like we know what we're doing, is good stuff as well. Can't thank Nate McHenry with his rallysquirrel.com report enough. Means a lot to us to have such a powerful Facebook page behind the show. Of course, Steve and his wonderful wife, Emily, and all they do as well. All the great Facebook pages that support us each and every week. Of course, the new one, like we had mentioned before, we want to mention is the Redbird Report, formerly St. Louis Cardinals News and Rumors. Make sure you check out the Cardinal Freak. And, of course, Chris Lawless with Cardinals Nation and Cardinals 24/7. Great Facebook pages that do nothing but support the baseball community here in town. Don't forget, if you're still into the Rallycat thing, the rallycat.com, check it out. You can get your shirts today there as well. Ours are not limited edition. You can get them at any time. Check them out. Got men's and women's, and I'm sure you'll enjoy them as this thing kind of has a life of its own now. So happy to be a part of Cardinal Nation. I guess we'll see you guys after Boston. Let's go Cards.
Go Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.